Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on the Early Line on this Wednesday on Sports Grid, our third and final hour to get to here on TEL. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We hear from you, the people out there, in just a moment about the Stanley Cup Final. But before we get to the Fade the Public poll, Donnie, some breaking news that we discussed when Jack McMullen was on the show, and we never want to be bad hosts and rude to our guests, so we didn't really dive deep in to all the news that it was. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. You happy with that pronunciation? Is that why Woj blocked me? Woj reporting that the Detroit Pistons have parted ways and fired Monty Williams after 1 year of a six-year deal worth more than $72 million that made Monty one of the five highest-paid coaches in all of the association. Of course, things were bad last year in Detroit. They weren't expected to be all that great, but Monty Williams did not live up to expectation in the Motor City. But they can him after only 1 year, which means five left on the contract with more than $65 million owed to Monty Williams. What do you make of the decision by Detroit?
It's like the opposite of what you anticipate for the NBA and certainly for the coaching ranks. Typically, when you get a coach in here that you have that many years and that much money on, even though you have a young and up-and-coming team with a lot of talent, you want the direct word to get across from the coach, which means I might be here longer than you will be here, let's just say, Cade Cunningham. And now that's not the case at this point. And also, how much money NBA owners are worth? The Detroit Pistons owner is in the top, like, five in the NBA. Money is of no object. But this is really interesting. Like, you were sold a bill of goods where, hey, look, Phoenix disrespected this guy. He's one of the best coaches. This is the perfect guy to mold this young team into the future, and maybe we can win an NBA championship. To give up on him after 1 year, which means one thing. Either they were so unimpressed by that hire, or number two, the players were basically telling ownership, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't believe in this coach. Look at our record here on a night-to-night basis. We don't have our best foot forward with him as our head coach. But it is odd. $65 million just to go away. And also, we're not even talking about a team like the Milwaukee Bucks that, like, we have our sights set on championship or bust. I think we just picked the wrong coach. We have to make a move. This was a team that you were hoping for the building block stages and that foundation just to show progress. So maybe in 2 to 3 years, you were on the cusp of maybe an Eastern Conference Finals appearance. This is interesting that it got fired that quickly, but also goes to show you, you are hired to be fired in the NBA. It happens every day.
Listen, you would think, with the investment into Monty Williams, despite underperforming on expectation, unless things were really bad in the locker room and Williams was unable to relate to this young core, which might have been the case, you would give him at least an additional year to try to figure things out. But there is no mincing words. The Pistons were putrid last season. One of the longest losing streaks we have ever seen in professional sports history. They finished with 14 wins out of 82 games, 14-68. Only two teams in the NBA this past year finished with less than 20 wins. The Wizards, who were 15-67, and the Pistons, who were 14-68. And what does Detroit have to show for it? The worst ping pong ball luck you will ever see in the history of the NBA draft lottery. Because after finishing with just 14 wins, the worst record in the NBA this season, the worst record in franchise history in the Motor City, they fall four spots and pick fifth overall. Maybe this year, not as bad as the luck last year, where they had a great shot of winning the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes, and they did not, having to pick fifth overall. Again, 54 wins for Detroit in the last three NBA seasons. 54. That's an average of 17 per year. And they have picked fifth overall in the last three drafts. It is cosmically bad luck for Detroit.
No, it certainly is. And this is one of those basketball teams when I was growing up was really at the head of the line in the NBA. The Bad Boys, the Detroit Pistons, and you follow through into the early 2000s, that Larry Brown run with Chauncey Billups and the boys. This is a proud franchise here that's certainly fallen on hard times. But I do want to say, like, I thought they were going in the right direction, stacking a lot of good young talent and getting a coach. And by the way, it wasn't a shot like, hey, we just got Monty Williams out of the, Australian Basketball League, his next hottest thing. Let's bring him over here. Like, this guy around the NBA, there was not a bad thing to say about him, and it was a quality head coach. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. But I do say this. I love organizations, and even though maybe it didn't work out, quite frankly, with Milwaukee, if you feel you made a mistake, don't worry about the money and move forward. That is the sign of a healthy organization that is trying to win, because quite honestly, how many owners are going to be like, oh, look at this, the new collective bargaining agreement, all this money coming in, just leave them out there. See if you can win the next couple years. It doesn't matter anyway, because even if we sell out this new arena or not, I'm still making money hand over fist. So shout out to Pistons, who felt they made a mistake and rectify with a $65 million check to Monty Williams.
And now they will look to hire somebody else, James Borrego, who has been floated for the Lakers job, the Cavaliers job, and now the Pistons job is considered a front runner. Bad mental math, by the way, 54 wins over 3 years. That's an average of 18. I could not let my high school teachers down. Anyway, now we go to some other news around the NBA. Pascal Siakam signing a four-year, $189.5 million max contract to remain in Indiana with the Pacers, of course, traded for this season midway through from the Toronto Raptors. He will stay in Indy and sign that contract when the league year begins on July 6th.
Really good basketball player, and one of those guys that showed up, it seems like, on a night-to-night basis, also with that championship pedigree from Toronto. This is a great signing. Sometimes you see this big money come out like, ooh, I don't know if that guy's worth it. Pascal Siakam, absolutely worth his weight in gold. Congratulations on that contract, and it is guaranteed money, so if they trade him, cut him, or tell him goodbye, just like head coaches in the NBA, he's going to get all of that, but I don't expect any downfall in Siakam's game. That is a great job here, and also looking for big things for Indiana in the future. It's a fun team to watch, and he's part of that.
Who reported that, by the way? Who?
Woj?
How do you say it?
Wojnarowski? Yeah, I'm
trying. Wojnarowski.
Look, right now, Ben, if I wanted to, I can DM Woj. Can you do the same? Tough scene.
No, I cannot. I've only been a supporter of Woj my entire time, but I guess the guy, not a big fan of me. Now we transition to the ice, where the Stanley Cup final is not done. The NHL season continues. Might we see the reverse sweep? Can the Oilers actually come back from an 0-3 deficit? That was the question in Fade the Public. Will the Oilers complete the 0-3 series comeback in the Stanley Cup final? That was our question at Sports Grid on Twitter. Listen, I voted yes just to have some fun. I did not expect the public to be this in, but they are. Nearly 43% saying yes, Edmonton has life and can come all the way back to win this series in seven games, 4-3. Still most of the public, nearly 58%, saying no, Florida is going to win this.
I voted like a fan in this one. I did. So I voted yes. I'm part of the 42% nice crowd here through right around 125 votes. I do want to see a game number seven. And also, don't we deserve it? After not really getting that much to cheer about here in the NBA Finals, get me to a game seven. And you know what? Get me to a game seven overtime. That's what I want to see here. But again, if we are oddsmen like we claim to be, the odds say it's still quite a long shot for us even to get to a game number seven victory for the Oilers at this point. So I I voted yes. I'm with the 42%, but that's more of a fan vote for me.
But then again, how long necessarily? Because Edmonton is a slight home ice favorite for Game 6. If that tracks, we'll see a Game 7. Minus 360, still the number in favor of the Panthers to win this series outright. To win it in 7, plus 210. And of course, we have seen an 0-3 comeback 4 times in Stanley Cup playoff history. Only once in Major League Baseball, that was the Red Sox over the Yankees in 0-4. Never in the history of playoff basketball in the NBA. Daily basis, Craig Mish next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Wednesday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie is on the right side, and the man in the middle, our MLB insider and the host of Newswire, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Craig Mish joins us here on this Wednesday on TEL. Craig, let's dive right in. And we're not going to get to our wonderful animation stinger until we ask you our second question as we round the bases in honor of respect. Because yesterday, a sad moment in the history of baseball, the passing of Willie Mays at the age of 93. Willie Mays, one of the greatest baseball players to ever grace a baseball diamond, was a guy that you met a few times. What was your interaction like with Willie Mays when you had the chance to meet him in person?
Yeah, Ben, it was, I mean, really both times was, you know, like meeting him and you know you're in the presence of greatness. That time right there, I interviewed Willie Mays. He was honored by Don Shula once a year in South Florida. Don Shula would bring in a legend to honor, and he brought in Willie Mays. They asked me to come and I interviewed him there. And so that was like a bucket list event, you know, to do that. You know, when I was younger, I used to like have this huge bucket list where I would like check everything off. And that's why I can say I went to all these Super Bowls and national championships and World Series and Final Fours. Like I used to do everything. And so that was on my list. I'm like, I have to meet Willie Mays. So I did. And it was a great interview. It was fun. He was very, at the time he was, you know, younger. I guess he was like in his 70s at that time. And it was, you know, one of the great moments for me. But I would say as a fan, I had an even bigger moment, and I'll try and tell the story as quick as I can. But in 2004, my wife and I went to San Francisco just on a trip for opening day. And it was April 12th, I believe, of 2004. A friend of mine had told me, hey, before you go to the game, randomly, he's like, Willie Mays parks in like the ship steward parking lot, which is across from the water. And he parks like in this spot. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. He's like, yeah, don't go into the game. Just wait out there. You'll get a chance to see him and you know, interact with him. I'm like, okay, whatever. So literally me and my wife were out there before the game. We're like thinking this is a bunch of crap. And then here comes this Escalade. Willie Mays gets out of the Escalade with another person. I was like, are you kidding? We're looking around. Like, where's all the people? You know, like what is going on here? So needless to say, the reason why he was there, guys, is because it was opening day. And not only was it opening day, but Barry Bonds was on 559 home runs. If you remember, Willie Mays had 660. So, you know, we take pictures of Willie Mays. He was cool as could be. The game begins, guys. Barry Bonds hits number 660. Willie Mays comes out. They hug. He gives him the trophy. I mean, it was like one of those moments.
It's incredible.
You know, and I'm in the media at the time, but as a fan, like we went out there just to see a game. We went to Oakland too. But to see, I was there for Bonds' 660th home run where he tied Willie Mays, still have the ticket, met Willie Mays that day before the game. So two good stories for me with Willie.
That is incredible stuff. Willie Mays, the fifth most home runs all time with 660. Barry Bonds, of course, his grandson. Craig, thank you for sharing those memories. Willie Mays, a baseball icon, passing away at the age of 93. Now let's go around the bigs, the biggest updates that we have in MLB, wins, injuries, and otherwise. We do so on a daily basis. Craig, the story this season for the Houston Astros has been injuries to its starting staff on the bump. Yeah. And add Justin Verlander to it, placed on the 15-day IL yesterday by the Astros with what Houston is calling neck discomfort. Where do things stand for Houston, who are now 7 games below 500?
Yeah, my neighbor's a big Astros fan in my community, and he thinks this is it. I mean, he's a huge fan, and yesterday he was like, that's it. You know, that's the final one. Now we lost Verlander. And guys, I got to tell you here, I think the Astros are in, you know, huge trouble here. I mean, it's one thing to lose, Jose Urquidy for the season and Christian Javier for the season, and Luis Garcia is already out for the season, and McCullers hasn't come back. But now Verlander's out too. Like, I mean, you don't have any. I mean, the Astros are a great organization, and then they've dipped into their pipeline big time to try and find replacements. They've done a great job. Kyle Tucker's been hurt too. So I can't pivot over. Even though the Astros are still close, I can't pivot over to them. I just think that the injury bug has crushed them this year. It's one of those years that, unfortunately, probably some people are going to fall on the sword for this season because losing in Houston's unacceptable. But to me, this is the final blow, losing Verlander. And by the way, they're saying they don't know when he's going to come back either.
That's probably even more of a telling sign there. So some bad news there for the Astros, but great news here for the New York Yankees, which includes getting hit by a pitch and not having a broken hand or wrist. And it looks like we're going to avoid disaster there for Aaron Judge. But also, even better news, Gerrit Cole back on the mound today for the Yankees. Things are looking up in the Bronx here, Craig.
Yeah, they are. I'd be careful with the Yankees today from the betting perspective, because generally after something like this, you would expect Judge to get a day off. Also, how deep will Cole go today? I'm not really sure, but you're right, Donnie. Having him back is better than having some player from the minor leagues. Also, great moment yesterday for the Yankees with that kid Rice getting his first hit, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was very excited to do so. He has been called up after the injury to Anthony Rizzo. But good news on the injury front for the New York Yankees. Aaron Judge might miss today, but should not be out for a considerable amount of time. And Gerrit Cole in his return. Craig, you showed the odds. You said be careful with where things stand today in the Bronx. Quickly here, how long do you think Gerrit Cole goes in his season debut?
Based on the numbers, what I've seen in the minor leagues, it feels like close to 85 pitches, which would be about 6 innings max. So I think that's probably what you'd be looking at. And that's the right approach here because they want him for September and October. So, I mean, probably 5 is the number, but he could go 6 based on what I saw in the minors.
So the Yankees win yesterday 4-2 in the opener against the Orioles in the Bronx, a 2.5 game lead. Now for New York atop the American League East, only 2.5 games separate those two same clubs from the American League's best record as well. Craig Mish, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for sharing the Willie Mays stories here on the Early Line. I'm sure we'll get more on Newswire as well. It starts at 11 a.m. Eastern time. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate your time. Now, on this Wednesday, a big night of action in the WNBA. 2 games yesterday, a doubleheader in the W, and more to come. Can the Aces on the slide figure things out? We break it down up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A big day in the WNBA on this Wednesday. It will be a focus during these summer months, and we will break it down from the handicapping perspective live right here on this Wednesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. And the two-time reigning WNBA champs are struggling as of late. The Aces, who had their first 3-game losing skid last week since the 2019 campaign, have now dropped 4 of their last 5. The Aces at home today in Vegas as a 6.5-point favorite against a good Seattle Storm team that entered the year with the third-best price to win the WNBA title. In Seattle right now, the fourth-best record in the W at 9-5. And they started just 1-3 in their first 4 games. They've won 8 of their last 10 despite getting upended by the Mercury over the weekend in their most recent outing. DRS, Las Vegas, hey, Michelob Ultra Arena, a difficult place to walk into and win. Not really this year, though. The Aces struggling.
No, they are struggling. But also, sometimes you say, all right, enough is enough at this point. You saw Asia Wilson at that post-game press conference, very upset, saying basically, we got to get this together. We'll get it together. And sometimes you buy into that in the very next game. They are at home. The season has to turn around sooner than later. Because if you are looking in the season as a totality, they're not that far out of missing the playoffs right now, something you never would have said roughly, what, 10, 12, 15 games into the season. I do think they get together tonight. It's not really a handicap per se, like, ooh, X's and O's matchup. I just like the situational spot they're in right now, getting upset at the podium, correcting things at practice, back at home here. I think they'll probably be able to win and cover that spread against the Storm tonight.
Yeah, it is really interesting for Las Vegas, by the way, and even 500, 6-6, as many losses already in 12 games this year for Las Vegas, as the Aces had the entirety of a 40-game regular season last year. They were 19-1 at home in the regular season. They won all six of their home games during the WNBA postseason as well, just 3-4 in Sin City this year. They are really missing their point guard in Chelsea Gray, has yet to play this year. Jackie Young is doing what she can to facilitate the offense, but it has been a struggle. Player performance doubles, not out just yet. But Asia Wilson to record a double-double and the Aces to win, it's been a great area to look if you think they snap the skid in the slide they have been on for a team that is booked as a 6.5-point favorite. The Aces still in front in the WNBA championship odds at plus 165 in front of the Liberty, who did lose last night to the Mercury, who have won four of their last five games, a 2-1 price on New York in the Sun. The best record continuously in the WNBA, 13-1 after knocking off the Sparks at home in Connecticut last night.
And by the way, you take a look at those championship odds. The WNBA has a lot of the same feels as the NBA, where you're not worried all that much about the regular season or what the seeding pattern is. If you just think you have that championship pedigree and that's going to rise and shine once you get into the WNBA playoffs. That's why you take a look at the Aces at a plus 165 price and say, wait a second, as Ben just went out, 500 record. They're nowhere near right now the best team, but we're figuring they will get it worked out. And that was part of the handicap on that one tonight. So Aces plus 165. It's not about now, Ben. Yeah. It's about later once we get to the playoffs.
And they do have that championship pedigree. The first team since the early 2000s to go back-to-back and win a WNBA title. The two-time reigning WNBA champs still at this moment. Speaking of back-to-back, it's what Indiana did for the first time this year with a victory over the Chicago Sky on Sunday. The Fever have won two straight games for the first time this season. Indiana starting to figure things out. They've won four of their last six. And oh, by the way, the game on Sunday against Chicago on CBS drew 2.25 million viewers. Both of us featured in that crowd. It was the highest and most watched WNBA game since Memorial Day weekend of 2001. Historic numbers, and the Fever, a 5-point favorite at home in Indy tonight against the WNBA's worst team. That's the Washington Mystics.
Would love to see the Fever to keep on winning here to stay in that spotlight. And also, let's remember, when we're doing numbers here on TV, remember the numbers when the Washington Mystics, the worst team in the WNBA, hosted the Indiana Fever and they sold that building out with a massive upgrade there? This is what's happening. It's the Caitlin Clark effect. We'll see if she can continue tonight. And it's a lot of fun watching the Fever play. And now also, Aaliyah Boston playing much better basketball with Caitlin Clark. Let's see if that continues tonight.
I think I would look at Aaliyah Boston. You saw the props on Caitlin Clark, but Aaliyah is really figuring things out. 14.5 for points prop. She had 19 points, 14 boards on Sunday. By the way, the Minnesota Lynx, the only other team along with the New York Liberty and the Connecticut Sun to win double-digit games, they won four in a row. The Lynx at home tonight. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A game we have discussed at length, but now we get Donnie Wrightside's preview of it as we go around a full Wednesday Major League Baseball card here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Gerrit Cole makes his 2024 Major League Baseball season debut tonight in the Bronx against the Baltimore Orioles. Minus 172 is the number in favor of the Pinstripes. So let's start there. We've asked Craig Mish, we talked with Mark Zeno, Jack McMullen about what the expectations are for Gerrit Cole in his return to the Yankees lineup in his first outing in 2024 tonight. The reigning American League Cy Young Award winner. From what Craig was crunching the numbers, he said about 75, 80 pitches, around five innings of work. So knowing that Gerrit Cole might have a pitch restriction and an innings limit tonight, DRS, how do you judge that with a minus 172 price in favor of the Yanks?
Yeah, for myself, if I was just a side better here, it wouldn't be on my card tonight because I just don't have a backlog here other than, yes, he seems to be doing very well through his minor league starts, and we do have expectations of him being a Cy Young pitcher. Not going to get on the mound and be scared because he's back into the major leagues here. That's not the case. Just not my betting style. I would need to see a couple starts. And also, the bigger question mark is going to be, will the maybe MVP of the American League be in the lineup tonight? Now, latest reports here is that Aaron Judge is saying he wants to play tonight, but are they going to keep him out in an abundance of caution and say, you know what, maybe let's keep that swelling down? But it's hard to tell, guys, in a game going up against the Baltimore Orioles where you won last night, you want to get back out there and beat them again. You want to participate. If he's not in that lineup and he has been slaying left-handed pitchers, that's a pretty big deal. So if you had to just say free money on the table, sure, you'd probably take the Yankees with Cole expecting a good effort. And also keep in mind, so many times, Ben, I come on this program and say to myself, hey, look, I don't know if I trust that Pittsburgh bullpen. I know Skeens is going to be filthy through five. Wouldn't it be a shame if you went six innings and the bullpen blew up 7, 8, and 9 and you lost that game? You don't have those fears with the Yankees bullpen at this point. If Gerrit Cole has a strong six innings today and they have a 3-1 lead, the Yankees are probably going to win that game. So from a betting perspective, I still do think the Yankees are a decent play here. But my question is going to be Povich. What do you get on that side of it? We haven't seen a lot of batters he's faced, only 49. Right. But if we do date back to May 1st, minimum 10 innings pitched, he doesn't have that great of numbers here. 132 xFIP minus, an ERA that is approaching 5, and a Sierra number also approaching 5. The pedigree pitchers on the mound here for the Yankees, I just wish I knew a little bit more of how long he's actually going to go and how effective he will be. So it's not one of the where I'm saying you got to lay the wood on the Yankees, but I'm also not telling you to take the Baltimore Orioles as a dog price. But if you are looking, the left-handed batters, even though the left-handed pitching Cade Povich is on the mound, Juan Soto and Alex Verdugo would be on my card. They've been very good against lefties over the past month, and I expect them to do that again tonight in the Bronx.
Cade Povich really good last week at Camden against the Braves in the battle of the Nebraska Cornhusker Hurlers. That was Spencer Schwellenbach for Atlanta, Cade Povich for the O's. But that's a pretty strong Gerrit Cole New York Yankees price in what is Cole's season debut at minus 172. This isn't the White Sox on the other side. It's not any of the teams in the American League West, not named the Seattle Mariners. This is the second best team in the AL, and it's only a 2.5 game gap between the New York Yankees and the Baltimore Orioles for that top spot in the division and the league as a whole. And that's after the Pinstripes won the opening game of this midweek set against the O's. Donnie, you said this earlier on in our opening hour, recapping game number one. Sure, it is just June, and there's a lot of time left to figure out what happens in the American League East. But it's a 2.5 game lead now for New York. These victories do have some added significance because of the head-to-head and what it will mean down the stretch for the rest of this summer. So the Yankees, the best record in the AL East, the best record in the AL. The O's, the second best mark in both of those categories as well. The two other divisional leaders face off this week in Cleveland. The Mariners continue their hot play. They've won 8 of their last 9 with a victory yesterday in the opener in land against the Guardians. Tanner Bibee on the bump today for Cleveland to even out this set. The Guardians have lost 3 in a row, but they're booked as nearly $1.50 favorite at home.
Yeah, and you might just want to take a look at, again, my premise yesterday was both of these teams are good. I think I have a slight pitching advantage on Seattle. Let me go that way. That came away with a victory. Now, today you might be looking at more at the under numbers. You take a look at Bibee on the mound, the 76 xFIP minus dating back to May 1st. You take a look at Brian Wu, who hasn't been bad, a 91 xFIP minus. But if you are taking a look at the ERAs, it's like these guys are getting a little bit unlucky because a 430 ERA for Bibee since May 1st. And you take a look at Wu, he's actually up there even a little bit higher at close to 5. So you might say to yourself, hey, these guys are struggling, but some of those analytical numbers are telling you that's not necessarily the case. 82 degrees at first pitch in Cleveland, light wind blowing out to left field, so not much help there from a windy perspective. But if I'm looking at both of these pitchers, Bybee, if there was maybe a chance to get after him, left-handed batters on the season have given him an issue. And if you're looking at some of the lefties in that lineup, that's J.P. Crawford, that's Cal Raleigh, that's Luke Raley, that's Canzone. Those guys do match up. And also keep in mind, it's not an overpowering lineup for Seattle. But if you are looking at tonight, six of these batters' ISO power numbers are above average against right-handed pitching over the past month. So that certainly factors in well. But if you are looking at that Cleveland Guardians lineup, Wu's got great numbers. And what I mean by that is 84 at bats. It's an 060 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 159 over the past 30 days, which means maybe not striking out enough guys, giving up too many fly balls and getting a little bit lucky. But those are some of the betting numbers I don't want to bet into, even though the Cleveland Guardians have a very good history over the past month of hitting right-handed pitching. But for me, I'll just lean on taking the plus money once again on day number two, because I think Wu should have a decent day, even though those Guardians numbers are very, very good against right-handed pitching.
The Guardians a 4.5 game lead for the top spot in the American League Central, in front now of the Minnesota Twins, who have moved past the Kansas City Royals. KC slightly struggling here in the month of June. The Twins, not this last week. Six victories in a row for Minnesota. Booked as a pretty hefty home favorite tonight in game number two of their midweek set against Taj Bradley and the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays five games below 500. Will it be seven straight today at Target Field in Minneapolis for the Twins?
Taj Bradley, usually one of those guys I like to get after, but let's take a look at his last 30 days in totality, which is always interesting. Which side can you side with? 114 batters he's faced, a 245 ISO and a 314 weighted on base percentage. Now, the 314 is actually below average. The ISO power number 245, way above average here. That's where you can get in trouble. He's got a high ISO power number to lefties and righties. So then you say to yourself, okay, that's what's actually happened on the field. What actually are his analytical numbers? If we look at his ERA, it's 4.23 since May 1st. Which obviously isn't great, but a Sierra number here, if you include skill interactive ERA, which includes defense, it's a 3.01. That's really good. His xFIP minus is actually only a 77, which is interesting. But if you line up right-handed pitchers going up against the Minnesota Twins, they have the ability to put some quality lefties in that lineup. If you're looking at this team, weighted on base percentage-wise, six out of the nine batters we anticipate tonight, all positive weighted on base averages against right-handed pitching over the past month. That's going to be a tough one to say. So if I'm saying, all right, I always like to fade Taj Bradley, his analytical numbers are good, I'm probably still going to have a slight lean here towards the Minnesota Twins today.
The hottest team in the American League, that's Minnesota, six consecutive wins. The hottest team in the National League, in all of Major League Baseball, that's the Grimace Mets. Seven consecutive victories for the Amazons since Grimace threw out the first pitch last week at Citi Field. I feel like I have to keep giving the qualifier in case this is your first time watching the early line, either in this 3 hours or this week. They look for eight wins in a row. Do the Amazons tonight on the road in Arlington? It's a virtual pick'em against the reigning World Series champs. Will it be eight straight for New York?
Let's take a look at Manaea. Now, if we take a look at Manaea, let's take a look at him on the mound. 84 at bats he's had over the past, or 84 batters he's faced over the past month. 266 ISO, 373 weighted on base percentage. Like, oh man, sign me up for Texas. But watch out. Simeon, Seager, and Grossman, above average ISO and weighted on base percentage against lefties over the past month. Everybody else has been atrocious. So now flip it over to the Mets, who, as we know, in the past 30 days have really gotten their bats going. Andrew Heaney is a left-handed pitcher. He struggles with right-handed bats, but take a look at this lineup. Brandon Nimmo's got a 312 weighted on base percentage. Outside of him, Alvarez, and Bader, everybody else has really good numbers here. So if you're focused on RBI props, again, look to the middle of that lineup, and probably Pete Alonso, he should be able to cash in a ticket for you tonight. I think the good times continue for those New York Metropolitans.
The game-winning ribby from the Polar Bear last night in Arlington. Plenty more baseball breakdowns next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Seven runs in one inning, a half inning for the LA Dodgers yesterday in their wild rally and comeback at Coors against the Colorado Rockies. 11-9, the victory for LA. And in the top of the ninth, Jason Hayward, a pinch hit Grand Salami got the Dodgers back into the game. And then Teoscar Hernandez, a three-run shot to win it after maybe what should have been called a strike on a check swing. But regardless, history will show a seven-run comeback for the L.A. Dodgers. 10.5, the total today at Coors between the Rockies and L.A. The Dodgers booked as a $2 favorite with Bobby Miller on the bump. Total on Monday night was 12. Dodgers win 9-5. Total yesterday, DRS, because of the rally, was 11. The Dodgers win 11 tonight. Both games over. Will we see it for a third straight day?
Could be. Weather not as, I guess, appreciative of what we need it to be at this time of the year in Colorado. 70 degrees, which is nice, but a wind blowing in from dead center field about 5 to 6 miles an hour. And again, we're still playing at Coors. The ball is going to travel, but we're just not getting those heated up temperatures and a wind blowing out. Now, having said that, I did get a kick out of last night. Teoscar's home run, if you watch that on a replay or maybe a highlight, you saw the minute that ball went over the fence, that right fielder was screaming at the umpire on the first baseline here, knowing that that should have been a strike three call. And that game was basically over, but yet now they're going to lose because they gave up that home run. Flip it over to tonight because Randy Feltner hasn't been a great pitcher. Now, you have to understand one thing. His ERA since May 1st is over 6, but he does pitch at Coors Field. So if we try to put those metrics in to sort of level the playing field, his xFIP minus number is slightly under 100. So he's not a terrible pitcher, but here's the issue. He's a right-handed pitcher. He's been great this year, Ben, against right-handed batters for the year and the past 30 days. The issue, he can't get left-handed batters out. On the season, it's a 234 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 390. Take a look at the last 30 days, though. It's a 404 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 478. You know where we're looking right there. First part of that lineup, Shohei Ohtani, lefty, leading off. Freddie Freeman, lefty in that three-hole here. And even Jason Hayward is due to get the start today after hitting that pinch-hit grand slam last night. Those guys need to be on your card. Now, when you say to yourself, what am I getting from the Dodgers pitching perspective? Well, we're hoping for good things for Bobby Miller. We don't have anything over the past 30 days to lean on. And it wasn't as if these early part of the season, through those 50 batters, he was lighting the season on fire. So even though it's not unbelievable hitting conditions, we're still at 70 degrees at first pitch. We're probably going to get 12-plus runs once again tonight, buoyed by those left-handed bats for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
I mean, Shohei Ohtani has been great all year long, as you would expect. But since Mookie Betts went down on Sunday and his injury kind of taking him out, at least from the odds perspective, the NL MVP race, making Shohei Ohtani the favorite, he has backed it up. Three home runs in the last three games for L.A., five ribbies in that three-game span as well. Day baseball on this Wednesday, six games in the afternoon hours, including a very early start in Atlanta, even before 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The Braves host the Tigers. Renato Lopez for Atlanta. Tarek Skubal on the other side for Detroit. The Tigers a road underdog. The Braves a slight home favorite. Atlanta's won the first two games of this midweek set by the same final score, 2-1 the past 2 days in the ATL.
Yeah, Renato Lopez has been very good. You take a look at him even since May the 1st here. Looks like a 91 xFIP minus number, which is very good, but also the ERA, 1.83. He's been great this season. So if you're lining up batters, he's been great against lefties the past 30 days and really good against righties, which when we took a look at that Detroit lineup, it's usually, as I said, Veerling and Riley Green and not much out there. So unless you're just saying a leap of faith that Renato Lopez is going to go back to his Chicago White Sox days, good luck with that. Now, 84-degree temperatures down in the Big A today at noon. It's going to be hot, but again, 12 to 13 mile an hour winds blowing in from right field. That might have a little bit of a say in this one. But let's go over to the other side. We already know the Braves are struggling at the plate. They're getting Tarek Skubal on the mound today, who has been filthy for the season, filthy for the last 30 days. And if you take a look at his xFIP minus number since May 1st, it's a 70. So much like the Braves can win this game, where are they going to win it, Ben? 3-2, 2-1, 1-0, 2-0. Yeah. Those are the vibes for here. I'll take the under in this game.
The Atlanta Braves have played 58% of their games 2-and-under so far this season, at least where they have been at home, an even higher under percentage throughout the entirety of this MLB campaign. The Phillies had lost two straight series since returning from London and splitting with the Mets. The Phillies have found their footing this week back at home at the bank. Two consecutive victories over San Diego, including the walk-off winner yesterday off the bat of Nick Castellanos. So today, in Philadelphia once again. The Phils with some day baseball hosting the Padres, who are on a slide. They've lost five in a row. The Phils DRS booked as a minus 178 home money line favorite. We've seen Zach Wheeler. We've seen Aaron Nola. The best pitcher this year for Philadelphia might be Ranger Suarez.
Yeah, Philly should win this game. And also keep in mind, this game is going to be 105 here. And I just told you that heat dome is right here in the Northeast. Oof. First pitch temperatures, 92 degrees with the wind blowing out. Having said that, I wish we had some tomato cans on the mound, which we don't have today. If you take a look at Waldron, you might say his ERA since May 1st is about average. He's a decent pitcher. But when you take a look at his last 120 batters, Ben, an 0.55 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 221. That is spectacular. Not a lot of free passes and a decent amount of strikeouts. Even though the Philadelphia Phillies got some really good batters in that lineup that have been dominant against right-handed pitching over the past month, it's not a great matchup. Then we flip it over to San Diego. Sure, Jurickson Profar, Manny Machado, Donovan Solano, all quality hitters who have handled left-handed pitchers great over the past 30 days. The issue is Suarez has been great on the season and very good over the past 30 days. Take a look at this. A 118 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 278 if we combine lefty and righty batters. As much as you just might say, it's Citizens Bank Ballpark, it's hot, the wind is blowing out, I got to go with the over. The pitchers are telling you right now in this matchup, we probably should be getting an under today in Philadelphia. But I do think the Philadelphia Phillies do beat San Diego in this spot. But also keep in mind, Trey Turner not expected to play today. Looks like he's going to get the day off.
8.5 remains that total. San Diego in June, just 6-11. Quickly, we go to Wrigley. Some more day baseball inside the friendly confines. The Cubs yesterday, a 3-run eighth to rally against the Giants. That has not been the case late in games for the Cubbies. What do you like in Chicago?
The over. And again, both of these lineups aren't tremendous here, but when you're talking about Wrigley Field, you can almost just put that same weather forecast I gave you from Philadelphia in Wrigley. 92 at first pitch, about 10 mile an hour to dead center field. Spencer Howard, who can't get right-handed batters out, might want to go with the right-handed batter. Seiya Suzuki today should be in business for the Cubs.
Some ribby props on Seiya, and we might be seeing a lot of runs. 11.5 is that total. More MLB bets coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some early starts, some day baseball on this Wednesday around MLB. Next up, we go to PNC Park in Pittsburgh. The Buccos a favorite against the Cincinnati Reds. Pittsburgh a minus 134 home money line favorite against Hunter Green and Cincy. Over under stands at 8. This scheduled for first pitch just after 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. Not all that long from now. What do you like, Donnie?
Yeah, not a great lineup here for the Reds, particularly going up against right-handed pitching over the past month. You're supposed to hammer right-handed pitching. Will Benson, who's due up in the leadoff spot today, he got solid numbers. Ellie De La Cruz has decent numbers. Everybody else, 3-9, terrible numbers against right-handed pitching, which is something you should be able to take care of with Mitch Keller. Now, left-handed bats have gotten the best of Mitch Keller. Benson's a lefty. De La Cruz will be a lefty. Fraley will be a lefty. Martini and also Hubertos. But at this point, I don't know if I could trust that lineup overall. Now, let's take a look on the opposite side. Hunter Green, who has that pedigree, which we think is going to become a very good pitcher in Major League Baseball, just hasn't really surfaced yet. And quite frankly, he's great against left-handed batters, but terrible against right-handed batters. Yeah. So Andrew McCutchen at the top of that lineup should be able to do some damage. Maybe Nick Gonzalez in the middle, but these two lineups aren't great here. So 89-degree temperatures in Pittsburgh, love to go over. I'm probably still leaning towards an under at this point. Just not happy with either one of these lineups.
It's been a low-scoring affair between these two this week. They have split so far. This, the rubber match today in Pittsburgh. The Pirates won game one, 4-1. That was with Paul Skeens on the bump. The Reds victorious yesterday, 2-1. Nick Lodolo, a good outing for Cincinnati. Again, who was 10 games below 500 on May 23rd. From that point, they've gone 15-8, 10-6 here in the month of June. Let's get right into it. And before we give you our best bets on this Wednesday, quickly, not just some day baseball on this Wednesday in the bigs, an early start in the College World Series in Omaha in about 5 minutes. The total continues to be on the rise for the elimination game between Kentucky and Florida. I still like the under. I'm sticking to my guns. Under 12.5 between the Cats and the Gators, an SEC affair with a spot continuously in the Big O on the line, and one season comes to a close today. Two more games later in winter bracket play after we get this one early on a Wednesday in Omaha. So before we say farewell on this Wednesday, I don't know where I got that. Feels like a Friday. Before we say farewell on this Wednesday, before we say goodbye, it's time for a Wednesday best bet. It's time for bye, bye, bye. DRS, a lot of baseball to choose from, a full Wednesday card. What is your best of all the bets?
Yeah, probably riding that hot streak there with the New York Mets. Team total certainly could be in play today with Andrew Heaney on the mound. We like the final. Like yesterday, J.D. Martinez let me down. Scored a lot of runs. He wasn't a participant. Yesterday, yeah. Pete Alonso was a participant. And it's not saying, oh, let's just go back that way. There are a multitude of guys here. They're going to bat righty in that lineup that should be able to handle Andrew Heaney. But I'm going to go with Pete Alonso in that cleanup spot. A 233 ISO, a 356 weighted on base percentage over the past month against left-handed pitching. I think he does some damage today and grabs us an RBI. And it's a pretty good price point here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. That's a plus 155 for the polar bear to get us an RBI, and I think he will do that today.
Listen, it's a baseball show. I'm feeling baseball-y. We start with the first game of the day in MLB. Tarek Skubal on the bump for Detroit. I like the Tigers in the first five. It's around a minus 102 price for Detroit as a road underdog. And how about Garrett Crochet for the Chicago White Sox? After the Sox beat the Stros yesterday 2-0, finally Chicago gets to 20 wins. They've had 14 since May began, six of them when Crochet started a game for the Southsiders. In eight starts since May started, Garrett Crochet has given up a total of six earned runs. Donnie, am I crazy for thinking the White Sox first five today against Houston?
Yeah, it could work out there. That pitchfork is out there for the Houston Astros, so why not take advantage of it, Ben? I like where you're going. But by the way, let me back this up. Imagine if you're a college baseball player. You hit that double in the gap today and walk it off. You walk right to South Beach, you walk right to it's Manhattan Beach on the West Coast. It's the way to do it, man. This is the next level. The kids want to be in L.A. and Miami. Listen, let's make it happen next year. Hashtag out of Omaha.
I'm not going to slander Manhattan Beach. I am going to slander you. That's the worst idea you've had among many that are bad. That's my fault, though. I gave you too much time on the backside there because we had too much time talking best bets. I have already said I kind of like the under. Kentucky-Florida elimination game fading where the market is going. I love the over for whatever team wins and then plays Texas A&M in the nightcap tonight. Oh, Analia Boston over 14.5 points. He's Donnie Wrightside. I'm Ben Stevens. We'll talk tomorrow, Thursday, 8 a.m. Eastern here on Sportsbook.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.